We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. I am your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Hayfley, and today it is the quest for the asterisk as Avalanche hockey in a form that matters less than 2 weeks away. The first exhibition game now just over 1 week away. Hockey is almost back, folks. We'll also have all the sports coming back. Baseball in just a couple of days here. Basketball right before the Avs return. So the time is coming very quickly, and we honestly cannot wait until all of this gets going for reals and the Avs.
Bowl season.
Bowl season, yeah, over on the Nuggets side. It's real. It's happening. So a lot of excitement buzzing around as we're going to kind of use this week to get fully prepped and ready to go for real proper hockey. And for the Avs, they have a bit of an easier route to start than most teams, but I do want to talk about the playoff format quite a bit because it's really intriguing to me personally, and I'm sure a lot of people out there, but I do think it's going to be particularly tough. Starting with the play-in round, every single play-in round has a guaranteed back-to-back in it, which is something, all right, I guess technically the play-in round isn't considered playoffs, but it's certainly going to be a little bit different than what people are used to.
Well, and I think that back-to-backs in this format are going to be different because you think of back-to-backs now. How often
is it travel? Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, even if it's like a back-to-back where it's like, oh, they go like Philadelphia to New York or something, you know, where it's a minor travel, they're still like, okay, they finish the game. They're getting on a train, a plane, a whatever, right? And it's a plane. they're getting on a plane and they're flying to wherever they are, even if it's a 30-minute flight, 40-minute flight, and then landing, going to the hotel, having to check in, get settled, go to sleep. In this environment, none of that happens. They finish the game at whatever time they're playing it at. They're playing in the same time slots.
Yeah, so that's true, too.
He goes, the game finishes, they go back to the room like normal. The only thing is that the next day they don't get up and go to practice or have a day off. They have
this game again. Yeah.
They just repeat the exact same routine that they did. There's no travel involved. There's no wear and tear. Am I saying that there won't be dead legs at the end of games? No, of course not. There will guys will of course get tired, but I don't think that these back-to-backs are nearly as punishing. And the big thing is, when we talk about back-to-backs during the season, it's almost always in the scope of, okay, well, what situation is it? Are both teams traveling?
Is one rested? Are they waiting in the location?
Yeah. Right. How many times did we see this year where the Avs played a back-to-back in Denver? Like, they play one night in one city and the second night in Denver.
Where
the
other Dallas team has been playing, there for 2 days. Yeah. Right.
They had already been in Colorado hanging out and practicing for 2 days. They don't have to do anything. That none of the caveats, none of the little quirks that we talk about when we get into back-to-backs during the regular season, none of that exists. It's going to be a perfectly even playing field, because even if you're playing a back-to-back like a home and home, and the Avs are in Chicago one night and then they're in Denver the next night, each of those teams is sleeping at home one of those games. In this situation, none of that happens.
Yep.
They're just on whatever floor they're on. And so it's going to be interesting to see the back-to-backs, because I think they're going to be competitive, and I think that they're going to be better. One of the reasons we don't like back-to-backs during the season is that one team runs out of gas and you're like, well, they're going to be better. One of the
little bit of an echo there. Nice. But the other side of that I guess I'm a little bit curious about, the Avs, for example, in the round robin round will have their time slot as 4:30 for their games. That's kind of a weird time to be playing hockey. It's compared to the regular season, where pretty much every Avs game is at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Mountain, maybe as early as 6 if they're on the East Coast or something like that. But then you go here and you're playing in the middle of the day. Sure, they have some 1 p.m. matinee games, but never in that in-between situation.
Yeah, it's gonna be awkward, because really there's no morning skates for these guys, and that's kind of like something for them to do. That's part of this routine.
Yeah.
You know, if they were playing early in the day, there's no need for a morning skate, right? You just get up and go to the rink and play hockey. For them, they're going to be sitting around most of the day, and then they're going to go play hockey at almost sort of a similar-ish time. Like that, I mean, it's not 4:30 and 7 aren't exactly like next to each other, but
it's not completely opposite part of the
day,
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. And without the morning skate, I think the late slot is going to suck, because that team just sits around all day.
That's true. Especially with the quarantine situation, right? Where it's like these guys aren't out and about on their day. They just have to literally sit there and wait until they can go to the rink and do stuff.
Like, How long of a video session are you going to realistically have? Like, you're playing the same team and there's like nothing new to learn, where it's like, okay, we're in game 4 of this.
Level of coaching is going to be super meta this
playoffs. Like, I honestly, that's actually an interesting point, because I think coaching is going to be massive during this. Like, coaching always matters during the postseason, and we've seen that with the Avs, where Bednar and his staff has consistently raised their level during the postseason.
Every single year they've improved too.
Yeah, absolutely. And now with this situation, with all this time on their hands, and then these guys in the round robin, you know that the coaches are just going to be devouring,
munching footage day and night of like, all right, here's the weak point.
They're going to be sitting there watching every call. Like, if Jared Bednar watches anything from the Eastern Conference, it might be on accident. You know, like, it would be purely like a, well, I'm waiting half an hour for a Western Conference game to start or something. Flip
this on,
because they're gonna be breaking down all of the possible opponents, because they could play any of these eight teams, because they could be any seed 1 through 4, and any of those eight teams could win
because of the reshuffle. So basically,
yeah. They have eight teams that they have to try and like
prepare for,
yeah. Plan for, and like, and I'm sure they've been using this time to get some pre-scouting notes and to watch them during the regular season. But the regular season's only going to matter so much when we get into this postseason after 4 months off and everything that's going to happen. Like
Belmar the other day was like, yeah, it doesn't matter at all, basically.
Right.
Like that was a different lifetime ago, and the teams will have the same general structure and ideas and players, but you have no idea what you're getting when you get into that.
Yeah,
the bubble and what teams are going to bring to you. So honestly, the big thing for the Avs, again, another benefit to being one of those top four seeds, is you're just hoping a handful of the series go 5 games. So you get your 3 round-robin games in, and then you have time to watch whatever you need to watch and figure out who your opponents are going to be.
Yeah, because once they get to that third game against Vegas, you'll start to have an idea of what seed you're going to be.
Yep.
You should. Start to have an idea.
Unless everybody's 1-1 or something.
Right.
Which, and, not out of the question.
Right. It's one of those things that could happen where it's like we could be in tiebreak galore here. But the ow. That actually kind of hurt.
Uh-oh.
The time off after that third game, I think, you know, even if it's just an extra day or two, huge as they try to plan for those series, because August 10th is off for everybody.
A couple of questions here. Utes Avs fan says ice conditions are going to be interesting.
Yeah.
That, particularly for that last game of every day, I would imagine.
I mean, it's going to be tough just because it's 3 games a day.
Yep.
You're just rolling it out. Those ice crews better be getting,
yeah, they mega overtime for sure.
Yeah, like the hotel employees getting like hazard pay. Like they should, those guys should get hazard pay. These ice crews should be getting overtime, double, whatever,
for sure.
There needs to be a major incentive for these guys to be as working as hard as they're going to ensure some hockey gets played.
We will save these other questions for the second period, as first we have to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer here at DNVR. You can find it on tap down at the DNVR bar, of course, or always order it from your local Davidson's or down at the farmhouse in Littleton, whether you want the Avalanche Amber, the Mountain Beach, the Mile High City, the Agave Wheats, half a dozen, more than half a dozen other ones as well. Personally, I love almost all of their beers. I am a huge, huge fan. I'm so psyched that they continue to be a sponsor with us, because I legitimately love their beer. So give them a try today. If you head on down to the farmhouse, you can get $5 off when you use code DNVR when you're purchasing. And of course, we also have DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. We have our DraftKings pick of the weeks today, and the hockey ones will come soon enough. We've already talked about some of the long-term hockey ones. The day-to-day ones will come, but today they have some good bets on baseball. I went a little bit safe on the day, not fully safe, but my pick of the week is going to be Justin Verlander to get the most strikeouts in the 2020 season. He's plus 900. Only Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole have better odds, so I'm taking Verlander. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying he's got the inside line, but at that plus 900, it was too juicy for me to let go.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's arm just defies
time. Logic, yeah.
He's been so incredible in his career. I remember when he got drafted second overall, like, way back in the day. Yeah. And now he's insane. He's been insane his whole career.
Yeah. Just a monster out there when it comes to strikeouts. But, you know, why play around with these silly decent bets when you can take a pick of the week like AJ is going to take this week?
Yeah, a 60-game season, I think there's a good chance something weird happens. We've seen it here in Colorado before when Ubaldo Jimenez started the All-Star game and had like a 1.5 ERA or whatever it was that year. Like, it was so dumb. Had that been a 60-game season, he would have won the Cy Young.
Yep.
And since I'm apparently one of the few people who actually believe the Rockies aren't just terrible, I'm gonna take the big odds, and I'm gonna go with Herman Marquez to win the Cy Young at plus 6,600. I'm sorry, but those kinds of odds, it's just like Marquez has the talent to do it.
I mean, you put $20 down and you're winning thousands of dollars.
Right. Exactly. This just feels like how many people just go to Vegas every year and put money on the whatever team they root for.
Far worse teams than Herman Marquez winning the Cy Young.
Right. Like that, there was that year, what was it, 3 years ago, where I went to Vegas and put it on the Islanders to make the cup finals at like, I don't know, it was like +5,000, yeah. And they made the second round, and I was like,
oh,
I had the ticket and everything, and I was like, come on, baby.
One time.
That would be great. Yeah. I would have spent the last $13 in my account to fly to Vegas just to redeem just it. To
cash it in.
Yep.
It'd be worth it.
It would have been worth it. It would have paid for itself in no time. It could have been. And that's how I feel with this Marquez bet, where it's like, he's got the talent to do it. It's 60 games. All he has to do is get hot for 2 months. He's plenty capable of doing that. He's got superstar talent. If he locks it in, and especially at Coors Field, although voters don't give Colorado pitchers the Coors Field bump.
It's funny how the batters get knocked down, but the pitchers don't get propped up.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, we saw with Kyle Freeland just 2 years ago in the Cy Young voting, where it was like, sure, none of his numbers are as good as any of the guys in front of him, but he's doing this at Coors Field, and none of those guys are.
Yep.
And it didn't matter. Like, everybody was like, so what? Good for him.
That's what's on the table this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. With baseball being back, get your bets in. You can bet on, of course, all of the opening day games, any number of player and prop bets you want to get in on. Bunch of amazing odds boosts as well, and sweet deals where if you bet on any MLB, All-Star to make the All-Star game, if they hit a home run in the opening day, you will get $5 of a free bet. So jump on it while you can. Of course, you can also bet on MMA, NASCAR, table tennis, you name it. DraftKings Sportsbook has it all. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DNVR when you sign up. Of course, for a limited time, you can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000 with that DNVR code only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Bonus comprises of a first deposit bonus and first bet. Match each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25x playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, hyping up the quest for the asterisks as not just the Avs, but the Nuggets, Rockies, maybe Broncos, as we wait to see how the NFL season shapes out. We'll all be trying to go out there and win in strange conditions, but we do have a couple of questions to get to. Ouroboros asks, how many different ice surfaces are they using? I believe just one for games.
Right.
They will have different practice sheets, but
yeah. Booking ice time is going to be such a pain in the ass with all these teams.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare, dude.
There's going to be a team that's like 9 a.m. practice, which will be sort of normalish. Yep. And then there's going to be a team with like a 3 p.m. practice that's like, come on.
Everyone's like, what is happening?
Yeah, I'm supposed to
just ate lunch.
Right. It's like I'm supposed to go to practice, work out, watch a video, go home, take a nap, and then do whatever at night. And then it's like, okay, well now I've had breakfast, I've watched video, I had lunch, now I'm going to practice. Oh, now I'm throwing up at practice. Yeah, right. Now I'm hating life the rest of the day.
And then we have Betty Jones asking an Avs-specific question. Do you think that Namestnikov is better than Donskoy?
Yep.
Straight up. No, yep. No beans about it. You think he's better?
I do. He's certainly more versatile, and I would.
Yeah, that's true.
He can play power play, penalty kill, even strength, all that. If I could replace Donskoy's contract, if I could just switch their contract situations, I would. And that's no knock on Donskoy, of course, who is a good player and has been fine for the Avalanche.
I will say Donskoy's production has been a bit more consistent over the course of his career.
Yeah, his role has been too.
That's very true.
You know,
Vlad has been all over the lineups. Yeah.
Well, and he went from playing, you know, he's on a line with Stamkos, and then he goes to the Rangers, right? We're right in their rebuild mode. And it was like,
sorry, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then he goes to Ottawa when they're terrible. And it's like, okay, well, now he's playing a ton again.
Yep.
And you're
now our first line center, I guess.
And we saw how well he fit in when he has skill around him. He's not going to be a leading man. And we've seen at camp so far, he's been very good. Moving around this Avalanche lineup, hasn't really been on a second line, but he's gotten multiple looks with basically all of the bottom six guys that we expect will be in contention.
He's all of
the regulars he's rotated with.
He's one of those guys that has the ability to not hurt a line, right? If you throw him in the top six with people,
he's fine.
Keep up. He's not going to drive it, but
yeah,
he's not going to slow him down either. And then you put him in the bottom six, and he can play any of the three forward positions. And that's where, you know, he can kind of help drive a line a little bit because he's talented enough to do that in those areas.
Yep, 100%.
And Donskoy really
his skating is just so abs.
Yeah, it is very abs. Donskoy, just not really a play driver. It's not his play style as much.
Yeah.
At this point, we've seen you could put like a deer in skates with MacKinnon and it'd probably score 15 goals. But beyond that, I think I do agree that Vlad is probably the better of the two. That's why he's going to make too much money for the Avs to retain him.
You know, with the flat capital, I'm very curious where his number actually lands.
Yep.
Because if they could talk him into $3 million, dude.
Can't, no way. There's no way he takes three. You right. think?
I don't think so, no. But if he goes onto the market and
just his, nobody can afford him type of thing. Yeah.
His market is capped out at 3.5.
It's like, why not take the team that could win me a cup?
Exactly. Like, is that one where you're like, okay, I can get this extra money and go play for the Sharks or the Kings, or I'm going to take a little bit of a haircut here and I'm going to go compete for cups.
Go compete for a cup, play in a team that's going to make me look good for my next contract.
Right. Cause like, I mean, a guy like him would be, he's going to be the guy that gets squeezed because, you know, the top guys will still get paid. The lower price guys will.
The cheap guys will still be cheap.
They're going to take $800,000 deals. You know, they're going to do that. It's
the middle class.
Kind of. Yeah. Like Nieto, the sucks for Nieto. He'll get squeezed a little too.
Yep.
Because he goes from maybe making $2-2.5 million to sticking right in the $1.5 million where he's at. But Vlad's going to be the guy that gets squeezed hard. Where he was probably going to ask for 4.5.
The guy
is like 3.75.
Fully break out.
Yeah. So if they could just work, you know, maybe. But I think that his market, that whole middle class market, is honestly going to be fascinating stuff.
Is the DNVR bar going to host some WASP parties? Absolutely. They will be happening there.
To the best of our ability.
Yeah,
I mean, and with as much responsibility as we can, we understand that people aren't going to have the same enthusiasm to come out and be in a crowd of people. You know, masks are required in the bar already. You do that and we'll have a capacity limit. There will be measures put in place in order to try and do it responsibly. Yeah.
I'm sure there will be signups and you know, ultimately it comes down to what we're allowed to do as well. I believe the Jared Polis just announced that last call is now at 10 p.m. for the next month. So.
Yeah, which this is where the app's playing at 4:30 is a godsend. That's
quite a lot, yeah.
Because we can open up at 4 o'clock or conserve alcohol all through the game, through the couple of hours after the game, and then by the time people are ready to go home, it's like, okay, this is fine.
Yep.
So we're nothing official, but we've definitely had these conversations. We are definitely planning on doing some stuff.
Keep your eyes posted the next week or two, and I'm sure there'll be more info out there. But yeah, so
okay. Yeah, if you bring 1,000 friends, we will let them come in and get a beer one at a time.
That's like 5 times the normal capacity of that building.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's yeah. I think that's right on the mark, actually.
It's like 216 or something, yeah. I think. Yeah. So
first of all, why do you know 1,000 people? That's weird.
Way more people than I know, I think.
But second of all, how do you communicate with all of them?
Anyway, groups? Yeah, that, wow, 1,000 person Facebook group. I don't even think the DNVR lounge has 1,000 people in it. You know what, might, I don't know. I haven't looked at the official number.
I haven't ever either, actually.
I don't know if I even can.
Do.
Nope. Yeah, it's like not, 800.
Yeah, I was going to say more than I thought, but yeah. Mostly just because we see the same 20 yeah, people like every
they're,
day.
They're separated into their different channels. It's not one yeah. channel oh, with man. 800 people.
If you guys were in the Avalanche channel yesterday, you guys got an education and what it was like to work in hospitality.
All right. Well, getting ourselves back on topic a little bit here. Piece did go up today about the Avs and the three-headed monster and how it's going to be a serious weapon for them on their return. Highly recommend you check that one out on thednvr.com. If you can't, consider subscribing to the site for a bunch of awesome content. AJ has pieces basically every single day since hockey has returned to training camps and all of that. So that will continue and only ramp up as we keep going forward. But I wanted to look around the league as well, because the three-headed monster is great for the Avs, but they are not alone. Right off the bat, playing St. Louis in the round robin is going to have Vladimir Tarasenko back, excuse me. How many threats can one team prepare for here? Because there are going to be a lot for the Avs.
So if you're Colorado and you're looking at St. Louis head-to-head, you're matching Riley MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kadri Shen?
Probably.
Done.
Easy enough. Don't even yeah. care. Is that your feeling from pretty much every team in the West?
Tarasenko? Never heard of him.
Bold. That's bold.
To be honest, he is one of the league's more overrated players these days. But
yeah,
I have a great respect for him as a player and his talent. But we talk about him like he's like this massive game breaker for them. And if you go and you actually look at his career and his production, it's like, oh, this is actually just okay.
Well, he's
very good.
He has that great wrist shot, but
yep.
He just never quite hit that upper echelon of really being a point per game player.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about guys to worry about, they're way more worried about Mikko than the Avs are Tarasenko.
True.
But Tarasenko does make them deeper because they are very, very deep. And for them to be able to, you know, with Schwartz and O'Reilly and Tarasenko and Perron and Shen and what's the kid's name? Robert Thomas.
Oh, man.
Who is, you and I both think is like the real deal.
Yeah.
Like when they buy Bozak out in this off season,
Thomas,
it'll be entirely about right Robert in. Thomas.
Yep.
So yeah. they've got, and they're deep. Like their fourth line guys, you know, the Sundquists of the world, those guys can all play.
They're
all very good role players too.
I mean, are Avs Blues your 1-2 when it comes to depth, at least in the West?
Oh yeah.
Nashville because, doesn't give them a run or anything.
You know, Nashville would, but they're broken, man. Like we've talked about this.
I think the 4 months off, they're not broken anymore, man.
It's not like it was just last season. It's been going on for a couple of years now. So I'm gone.
I don't know. I'm not.
I'm out on Nashville as scary until they prove me otherwise. Since their cup run, there's been something poisoned in that water ever since, and they have just steadily declined.
It's Pecorine, dude.
It's not though. Like it's.
I mean, I know that they can't get a forward to score more than 60 points.
Well, and they like you look at like the year that Victor Arvidsson had, where all of a sudden he's like, it was like 28 points in 50 some odd games, and you're like, what is what every happened? single guy on this team underwhelms.
Yep.
And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason why. Nobody has any. They can't point to anything that's going on. And so until they prove that that's no longer true, because it's been going on for a couple of years, I'm out, man. I'm out on being afraid of the names on that team, because that's all it is. It's a pretty roster, but they get on the ice and they don't produce the way that they should. If they click and fire on 100 on all cylinders, they're scary as hell. They're terrifying, but until that happens, I'm just not scared of it.
I wouldn't say I'm scared of it. I'm just talking about if you're looking at team depth, I mean, I think that can carry them a long way. Their goalie problems, I do believe, get negated a little bit in a situation like this, given I expect this to be the highest offensive scoring, at least through the first round playoffs, maybe ever. I guess the 80s happened. I shouldn't say that, but certainly in the modern game. So I'm just not as convinced that they're this inherently broken team. I like the Avs in a series against them, but I don't think that's a team that's just going to crumble.
I like all of the top four in the West. I would also take Edmonton and Arizona over them.
I wouldn't take Dallas over them ever.
It's my thing is that Dallas wants to play 2-1. And I don't trust UC Soros to hold up to that. That's the only reason I take Dallas over them, is because
Dallas's depth just gets murdered by that team. Dude, I know.
Their depth sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Edmonton, I could see. Arizona, you just don't know what the hell you're going to get with Arizona.
You really so I agree with you completely on that, and that's why I'm picking them against Nashville, is because I'm picking the wild card against the sinking ship.
Yeah.
And that's all that is.
Fair enough.
Especially because for whatever voodoo they've had going on with their goaltenders the last couple of years, their goaltending has been spectacular, and it hasn't mattered who was in net.
Yep.
Either Ronta or Kemper. Or Kemper. You're just like
magicking their way to 930s.
Like, these guys who were longtime backups are now like Vezina caliber players in Arizona. I don't know why, but that's yeah. So that's why again, goaltending.
Boy.
Especially in a best of five.
I do wonder about Arizona's depth as well. But
it's more like young and unproven,
right? Exactly.
Then, like,
it's not just weak. It's just like, here's a bunch of dudes that might be good eventually.
Yeah, and it's got like super like Island of Misfit Toys feel to it.
Yep, for sure.
Where it's like you're like, oh, that guy really? You're like, oh, Christian Fisher. Oh, he was like a top prospect. Well, okay, I remember him. Vinny Hizestroza. Are you serious? That guy's still in the league.
Bunch of Chicago leftovers.
Right.
So interesting to say the least. I have more faith in Nashville than you do, but
yeah,
definitely Avs, Vegas, St. Louis. I think I'd pick over them.
Might take Vegas over St. Louis depending on which goaltender they start.
Well, we can get into that conversation in the third period of this podcast. But first, of course, we do have to recognize one of my favorite products in the world, Manscaped, and their amazing Lawnmower 3.0. Still got to use it on my beard here. I guess what's the rule on playoff beards? Do I have to shave? When can I start growing the official playoff beard?
What's
your ruling here?
Start doing it now. But if you're waiting to like the last minute to start totally fresh, August 2nd. When
I shaved 17 seconds before puck drop. But am I allowed to start now? Do I have to wait till they travel to the bubble? What are the asterisk rules for shaving my playoff beard? Because it's got to go. It's got to start again. Should I do it ASAP? I guess that's the ruling. Got to go do it immediately after this pod.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you do, I won't get rid of mine because that just won't happen, but I'll trim it.
There you go. AJ will trim. I'll shave the whole thing. Maybe I'll get a haircut better. Too. Yeah. On Wednesday's show, we'll be looking sharp, guaranteed. Right. So hopefully tune in for that. Of course, if you need to shave your beard or any other hair all over your body, you can use the Manscaped trimmer and get their perfect package 3.0.
It's weird, dude.
Of course, they sell cologne, they sell breath mints, whatever you need to keep you smelling right, looking good, getting that swagger on. Head to manscaped.com, use code DNVR20 to get 20% off your entire purchase and free shipping. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, presented by Davidson's with Rudo and AJ. So, I know you're picking the Avs to go ahead of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also saying that they might be the third best team in the West.
Yeah. For one, I don't trust Jordan Binnington still. He was very quietly, like he had a very pedestrian.
It was average. It was average.
It was a very like middle of the road 2 months that he had. And so that's for me, I'm like, okay. He started going crazy in December. He ended his crazy run in December. Was this just a Cinderella type deal? The clock struck midnight, and when it turned, when his 12 months was up, he goes back into a pumpkin, because Jake Allen was very quietly bailing them out. And if that has to continue to be a thing, first of all, we know what's up with Jake Allen. They have tried and tried and tried and tried the with that guy.
Most inconsistent goalie ever, basically. Like
the goaliest goalie who ever goalied.
Yeah.
If they turn to him in a series, he can get him through a series. We saw that a couple years ago when he gave up like 4 goals in an entire series against Minnesota, and then they got smoked in the next round.
And then gives up that many in the first 2 periods of the next series.
And it's like, oh, Jake Allen's back. And so like if that's what happens, like I think washed is probably a strong term here. But I think Fleury is closer to done than we thought at the start of the year. And really, if you look at his career, we've given him a lot of credit for a lot of mediocre hockey. Like when he showed up to Vegas, he was insane. And then he has slowly worked his way down since then.
He has great years, but you've seen, particularly this year, the decline feels quite a bit steeper.
It does. And they made a move as bold as getting Robin Lehner at the deadline says that
they know
management knew it too.
Yeah.
You know, this was like when the Kings went and got Ben Bishop to back up Jonathan Quick. Except Jonathan Quick was fine that year.
Yeah, he was playing well.
He was doing what Jonathan Quick does. He was just fine. There was no anomaly. There was no anomaly that year. There was no like whatever. They were just like, well, this is cheap, so I guess let's do it. And it made no sense. this made all the sense in the world. And Robin Leonard, we've seen the last couple of years. I mean, Robin Leonard, Chicago is in this postseason thing right now because Robin Leonard dragged them to wins that they
did not.
I don't like to say, I don't like to say did not deserve, because
I'll say it.
You get results, right? Like, results are results. But
Robin Leonard deserved those wins. It doesn't mean the
Vegas. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like, I'm not a huge fan of assigning wins and losses to individuals and team sports. But boy, Robin Leonard sure carried them for some stretches there. So I'm of the opinion that Vegas with Robin Leonard is scarier than Vegas with Fleury. And the upside there is I like Vegas a lot more than St. Louis if I'm not worried about their goaltending. Their defense still makes me
a little questionable, but
uncomfortable.
You're whereas gonna get a not so different look as the Avs there, right? Where Vegas is just going to try and skate them into the ground.
A little bit, because they've got guys that do that, right?
Yeah.
Schmidt and Theodore especially are those guys. Mm-hmm. But then you have, you know, they went and got Alec Martinez.
Sure.
And then they have Braden McNabb and Derek England and
the veteran guys left over.
Sure. Who's the college kid that they really like? Zach Whitecloud, who's a big thumper.
Kind of same story with their fourth line with Reeves and
right. Like, some of those guys will skate you.
Yep.
You know, even it's where Colorado's interesting is that if you look at their defense, their worst skater is probably Ian Cole.
Maybe Graves, one of the two. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you would be Graves or Cole. And it's and like they're defensive guys. Like, yeah, you're it's fine.
You're asking them to shut down anyway. So,
but like you've got three guys that can absolutely fly, and a fourth guy who is Godzilla and has has great feet when he wants to use them in Zadorov.
Yep.
So they're a little bit different, and then St. Louis is more of your classic like, we're just going to make life miserable and we're
going to thump it. They're going to grind you to death is their game plan.
Yeah. They want to throw them hands every time that you get into the zone.
Yep.
They want to put hands on you and they want to make life really uncomfortable. They just want to physically wear you down where you're just like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Which, I mean, we talked about this once before, but that's going to be really interesting to me too, is how the penalty tone gets set for the league.
Yeah. And the officiating is going to be one of those. We'll see it when it shows up.
Well, you just live with whatever it is, but it's going to affect the way teams approach games.
Well, and it's which team does it end up benefit? Does it end up benefiting St. Louis, where they play a very obstruction heavy style, where they want to walk the line of every time you dump a puck in, their defender will go with the man and they will ride you outside and they will try and interfere without interfering to the best that they can. Whereas Colorado will do a little bit of that, but they want to turn around. They want to go pick up that puck and get the back behind the facing their net again.
Yep.
They want to grab the puck as quickly as possible, and they want to play forward as much as they can.
They want as few sticks whacking at McKinnon as possible, basically.
Yeah, and they want to have a certain flow of play that they create, and that's how they dictate tempo and pace and impose their will, is that they decide how the game gets played, and that's where you move your feet, and the other team has to keep up with you, and that's when guys get beat. And you know, you're going to take your chances with Robert Bortuzzo and Marco Scandella, that they're going to be reaching
yep.
on a fast team that wants to move their legs all the time. if they're able to do that, then the penalty advantage should go towards Colorado if they're allowing a lot more speed and skill to take over. If they're cool with a very obstruction heavy style, that plays perfectly into what St. Louis likes to do.
It does. Regardless, I do think the Avs could overcome it either way.
Yeah, but saw it this year. Like, yep. There were games where their skill just took over.
And just didn't matter.
Their legitimate high-end game-breaking talent was just, it's just too much, even for St. Louis. And that's where the Blues just don't have that yet, because Robert Thomas hasn't figured it out.
No, I mean, look, I like Robert Thomas, but he's no Nathan MacKinnon.
No. But they want to try to four line you into misery.
Yeah.
And the Avs want you just sucking wind by the second period going, F this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, because the Avs are four lines deep as well.
Yeah.
Just a different game plan, really.
Yeah, it's just a different way of going about it. And that's where a guy like Nemestikov just adds one more skater.
Yep.
And when you're talking about fitting into your identity, this is one reason why where you would make the Joseph's 13th forward argument, mm-hmm. because Nieto's a much better skater.
Yep.
And that's just, you know, like, that's just your identity.
100%. It's who the Avs have become by chance or by intention.
Jeez, at that point, your bottom six, Belmar's your worst skater.
Yep.
I mean,
by like quite a bit.
Well, with Donskoy and Comfort and Nemesnikov, Calvert and Nieto, it's like all of those guys can get up and down the ice quickly. And not to say Belly's slow, but he's not in the same caliber as those cats.
That bottom six is what's happening in Yakupov's mind when he's skating around like bees are chasing him. Belmar's not a bad skater, but no. Just the worst of the amazing skaters that the Avs have.
Right. Like the Avs, and like if you were to like find a way to put Nichushkin back in there, all of a sudden you're like, this is the best skating bottom six that you could build.
There you go. So the Avs just need to go out and find the best top six skating winger this offseason and complete the what a 12 vecta. Taylor Hall. Who?
Taylor Hall.
Who?
Taylor Hall.
There you go. We can have that episode again after all this is over. But for today, we do got to wrap up. So, AJ, any final thoughts on playoffs or anything else going on in the world?
No, I don't want to get into it.
All right. That's all good with me. We are going to get out of here for today's show. Before we do, though, of course, MSU Denver Online, near and dear to my heart, as I did go there myself, and we have multiple people here at DNVR taking classes there right now as they put a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life. MSU Denver is Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world into the classroom. Harrison Wind, our own DNVR Nuggets beat person, talked about that a little bit. A lot of these guys are great connections for networking if you're trying to get into a certain field. So talk to your professors, give yourselves opportunities by hitting up MSU Denver Online. Thank you for hanging out, chat. Love to see y'all always chatting it up with us. We're happy to answer questions as we go during these shows. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week as well. Until then, catch you next time.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.